Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ, Chapter 3. Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost, when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin. No conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance such as this is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. Just here is a point on which many may err, and hence they fail of receiving the help that Christ desires to give them. They think that they cannot come to Christ unless they first repent, and that repentance prepares for the forgiveness of their sins. It is true that repentance does precede the forgiveness of sins, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that will feel the need of a Savior. But must the sinner wait till he has repented before he can come to Jesus? Is repentance to be made an obstacle between the sinner and the Savior? The Bible does not teach that the sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It is the virtue that goes forth from Christ that leads to genuine repentance. Peter made the matter clear in his statement to the Israelites when he said, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than we can be pardoned without Christ. Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness, is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon our hearts. Jesus has said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Christ must be revealed to the sinner as the Savior dying for the sins of the world. And as we behold the Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption begins to unfold to our minds, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible, and as the sinner beholds this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires contrition in the soul. It is true that men sometimes become ashamed of their sinful ways and give up some of their evil habits before they are conscious that they are being drawn to Christ. But whenever they make an effort to reform from a sincere desire to do right, it is the power of Christ that is drawing them, an influence of which they are unconscious works upon the soul, and the conscience is quickened, and the outward life is amended. And as Christ draws them to look upon His cross, to behold Him whom their sins have pierced, the commandment comes home to the conscience. The wickedness of their life, the deep-seated sin of the soul, is revealed to them. They begin to comprehend something of the righteousness of Christ and exclaim, What is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? Was all this love, all this suffering, all this humiliation demanded that we might not perish, but have everlasting life? The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. A knowledge of the plan of salvation will lead him to the foot of the cross in repentance for his sins, which have caused the suffering of God's dear Son. The same divine mind that is working upon the things of nature is speaking to the hearts of men, and creating an inexpressible craving for something they have not. The things of the world cannot satisfy their longing. The Spirit of God is pleading with them to seek for those things that alone can give peace and rest, the grace of Christ, the joy of holiness. Through influences seen and unseen, our Savior is constantly at work to attract the minds of men from the unsatisfying pleasures of sin to the infinite blessings that may be theirs in Him. To all these souls, who are vainly seeking to drink from the broken cisterns of this world, the divine message is addressed. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. You who in heart long for something better than this world can give, recognize this longing as the voice of God to your soul. Ask him to give you repentance, to reveal Christ to you in his infinite love, in his perfect purity. In the Savior's life, the principles of God's law, love to God and man, were perfectly exemplified. Benevolence, unselfish love, was the life of his soul. It is as we behold him, as the light from our Savior falls upon us, that we see the sinfulness of our own hearts. We may have flattered ourselves, as did Nicodemus, that our life has been upright, that our moral character is correct, and think that we need not humble the heart before God, like the common sinner. But when the light from Christ shines into our souls, we shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of motive, the enmity against God that has defiled every act of life. Then we shall know that our own righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and that the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from the defilement of sin and renew our hearts in his own likeness. One ray of the glory of God, one gleam of the purity of Christ penetrating the soul, makes every spot of defilement painfully distinct, and lays bare the deformity and defects of the human character. It makes apparent the unhallowed desires, the infidelity of the heart, the impurity of the lips. The sinner's acts of disloyalty in making void the law of God are exposed to his sight, and his spirit is stricken and afflicted under the searching influence of the Spirit of God. He loathes himself as he views the pure, spotless character of Christ. When the prophet Daniel beheld the glory surrounding the heavenly messenger that was sent unto him, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his own weakness and imperfection. Describing the effect of the wonderful scene, he says, "There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Daniel chapter 10, verse 8. The soul thus touched will hate its selfishness, abhor its self-love, and will seek through Christ's righteousness for the purity of heart that is in harmony with the law of God and the character of Christ. Paul says that as touching the righteousness which is in the law, as far as outward acts were concerned, he was blameless. Philippians 3:6. But when the spiritual character of the law was discerned, he saw himself a sinner. Judged by the letter of the law as men apply it to the outward life, he had abstained from sin. But when he looked into the depths of its holy precepts and saw himself as God saw him, he bowed in humiliation and confessed his guilt. He says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Romans chapter 7, verse 9. When he saw the spiritual nature of the law, sin appeared in its true hideousness, as his self-esteem was gone. God does not regard all sins as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation, as well as in that of man. But however trifling this or that wrong act may seem in the eyes of men, no sin is small in the sight of God. Man's judgment is partial, imperfect, but God estimates all things as they really are. The drunkard is despised and is told that his sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness too often go unrebuked. But these are sins that are especially offensive to God, for they are contrary to the benevolence of his character, to that unselfish love which is the very atmosphere of the fallen universe. He who falls into some of the grosser sins may feel a sense of his shame and poverty and his need of the grace of Christ, but pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. The poor publican who prayed, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," Luke chapter 18, verse 13, regarded himself as a very wicked man, and others looked upon him in the same light. But he felt his need, and with his burden of guilt and shame he came before God, asking for his mercy. His heart was open for the Spirit of God to do its gracious work and set him free from the power of sin. The Pharisee's boastful, self-righteous prayer showed that his heart was closed against the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because of his distance from God, he had no sense of his own defilement. In contrast with the perfection of the divine holiness, he felt no need, and he received nothing. If you see your sinfulness, do not wait to make yourself better. How many there are who think they are not good enough to come to Christ? Do you expect to become better through your own efforts? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then ye may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. But let none deceive themselves with the thought that God, in his great love and mercy, will yet save even the rejecters of his grace. The exceeding sinfulness of sin can be estimated only in the light of the cross. When men urge that God is too good to cast off the sinner, let them look at Calvary. It was because there was no other way in which man could be saved, because without this sacrifice it was impossible for the human race to escape from the defiling power of sin and be restored to communion with the holy beings, impossible for them again to become partakers of spiritual life. It was because of this that Christ took upon himself the guilt of the disobedient and suffered in the sinner's stead. The love and suffering and death of the Son of God all testify to the terrible enormity of sin and declare that there is no escape from its power, no hope of the higher life, but through the submission of the soul to Christ. The impenitent sometimes excuse themselves by saying of professed Christians, "I am as good as they are. They are no more self-denying, sober, or circumspect in their conduct than I am. They love pleasure and self-indulgence as well as I do." Thus they make the faults of others an excuse for their own neglect of duty. But the sins and defects of others do not excuse anyone, for the Lord has not given us an erring human pattern. the spotless Son of God, has been given as our example, and those who complain of the wrong course of professed Christians are the ones who should show better lives and nobler examples. If they have so high a conception of what a Christian should be, is not their own sin so much the greater? They know what is right, and yet refuse to do it. Beware of procrastination. Do not put off the work of forsaking your sins and seeking purity of heart through Jesus. Here is where thousands upon thousands have erred to their eternal loss. I will not here dwell upon the shortness and uncertainty of life, but there is a terrible danger, a danger not sufficiently understood, in delaying to yield to the pleading voice of God's Holy Spirit, in choosing to live in sin, for such this delay really is. Sin, however small it may be esteemed, can be indulged in only at the peril of infinite loss. What we do not overcome will overcome us and work out our destruction. Adam and Eve persuaded themselves that in so small a matter as eating of the forbidden fruit, there could not result such terrible consequences as God had declared. But this small matter was the transgression of God's immutable and holy law, and it separated man from God and opened the floodgates of death and untold woe upon our world.
I want to read for you today a few pages out of the book Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. I'm reading from pages 506 through 512. The section is called Pray for the Latter Rain by Mrs. White. This passage was originally published in the Review and Herald on March 2nd, 1897. You can download it from the internet. It's right there on page 1 and 2. And I found it very interesting and revealing because there were things in this article.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Leola, Sister Collins. Will be the host for this evening, but I will offer a word of prayer. Okay, Sister Carla? Let me ask to see if you, are you able to host? Are you in a place you can get the internet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Well, you want me to?
Yes,
I can hear you. Well, I will offer a prayer, and you got some that's on already, then raise their hand. So let me offer a word of prayer because I'm still in the middle of doing my
Go ahead.
Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom to come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, we come before you on this evening, Father, to thank you for another day. And thanking you, Father, for all our brothers and sisters that have joined us on the prayer line to give the praise and the honor and glory to you, Father. And now as we lift each and everyone up, and especially the prayer line, Father, we ask that you bless this prayer line with your Holy Spirit that we may receive the word that will be given to us tonight and to praise you and give you the glory. Heavenly Father, I also want to thank you, Father, for the blessing of being the host when you can call on another, that one can come on and host a prayer line when one has other duties to do. So thank you, Father, for providing for us the word, providing the help to host a prayer line. All these blessings comes from you, Father. So we just want to thank you tonight for the blessing of the prayer line. And also, I'm thanking you, Father, for the opportunity of giving us another day that we can see this day, Lord. We hear alive that we can come on the prayer line and testify of your goodness. So we thank you. Thank you for the week, the long week, and the Sabbath have ended, and now we enter in another week. Lord, I'm praying for my sisters and brothers as we enter this week that you keep each, every one. Protect them and be with us, Lord, as we are doing your will, to study, to hand out tracts, to talk to people, to do all these things that you called us to do. So thank you, Father. Bless this prayer line this evening. Bless Sister Carla as she hosts, and bless each and every one that come to the prayer line and all those that are from far and near. Lord, help us to understand why we are on this prayer line to worship you. And Lord, we thank you once again, and all this in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Amen.
As I listen, brothers and sisters, Sister Carla, the host, so press 1, and she will be opening your line. Amen. And Sister Carla, I'm listening, but I will be busy for a few minutes because I'm doing something.
That's okay.
But I'm going to be listening. Amen. Okay, then.
Thank you.
Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening. Yes, as Sister Leola said, I'm stepping in for her for a while. So praise the Lord again for his goodness, his love, his mercy for each and every one of us to come and testify of his goodness and to come in and, you know, share, encourage each other with our scripture, with our song, our testimonies, and just prayer requests, because we know that iron sharpeneth iron. And this is what the Lord will have us to do, to come and pray for each other, come and sympathize with each other in love, you know, and point each other to the source of our strength, which is Jesus. And he said we have to overcome all these evil tendencies, because whatever we don't overcome will overcome us. So, yes, please press 1 so that I can open your line. As Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, it says, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowel of my mother, had he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand, has he hid me, and made me a polishing shaft in his quiver, has he hid me. So the Lord has created each and every one and called us for a time such as this. And we have a purpose in this life, brothers and sisters. So we have to know our purpose. We have to know our mission, you know, to carry the gospel, to intercede for others and to help others. Amen. So again, please press 1 so that I can open your line. God is truly good and he's worthy to be praised. 9-8-5. 232, your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
Thank you. I just want to thank God for today. Thank him for his blessings and all that he endured for us. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. You are godless host. Thank you. I would like to read this prayer. Lord God, sins have made a breach between us and you, and gulf or charm that is too vast for any man to build a bridge over. But your grace through the blood of the Redeemer has made a way for us. Teach us to hate our sin more and to love you with each passing day. Amen. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Lord, it's coming. It's coming, because those who pray, those who repent, and those who lift him up every day, it's coming. It's coming. The Lord will give us this year. He will teach us, because we are striving. We're not on here for nothing. And we don't come on here just to play, because we know one thing. We're coming on here for a gift, and that's to be with the Lord. We're not just playing, and he knows it. So he will teach us to hate sin and love him more, and that would be a wonderful day. So I thank you, brothers and sisters, on this line. We just gonna keep up the good work, praying for one another, loving one another, giving God the love first, because he first loved us. And we're going to keep calling his name daily and night, evening, whatever it takes. And we're going to keep each one of us in our prayer, whether we're on the line or off the line. And we're going to thank God for his wonderful and marvelous work. I've been watching it on TV, and it's just been wonderful. I've just been having some good church, and I just thank him. So God bless him. Pray for him. As being like, lift him up and lift up my brothers and sisters that are sick, homeless, and wherever they may be. Just continue praying for each and one of my beloved friends. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. Is Brother John coming on too?
No, that'll be it.
Okay. Praise the Lord for you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, for him also, and for you guys taking care of those grandbaby. They're precious, you know, and I know you guys are a light to them, and they're enjoyed being in your presence. So may the Lord continue to bless both of you as you minister to the grandchildren and those around you. And thank you again for pressing one and coming on and sharing, Sister Brenda. Again, I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for coming on. It's truly good to hear your testimony, to hear the scriptures or what the Lord has been doing in your life, or, you know, how you're interceding. Or we know when we're on the Lord's side, the devil will attempt to attack us, but we know he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So we have to call upon the Lord. Whatever come at us, we know it's not going to be a smooth sailing. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through ups and downs. We're going to have obstacles we got to jump over. But we know through Christ we will be victorious, brothers and sisters. So we have to claim those promises. I will go to the next caller. 272-770. Your line is now open.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Carla. God bless you all. And I just want to lift up the prayer line in prayer, and my children, my grandchildren, but I want to lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening. And I'd like to sing a song. Great is thy faithfulness. It's taken from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars and the courses above, join with all nature and unfold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is Praise the Lord. I thank you so much, my dear Sister Carla, for opening my line. This is Sister Taimiko from Pennsylvania. I forgot to mention that. And I do have a verse in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. And it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let us all, the people, praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen and amen. God bless you so much, and thank you for opening my line, my precious sister Carla, and bless you and your precious family. Love you all. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Taimiko, for that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We know great is his faithfulness, and we ought to be faithful. And also for the scripture reading, the whole earth will know him. The whole earth will bow their knees. And, you know, it behooves us to be on the side of God and to be on the side of the enemy and to practice and to do those things that he have called us out of darkness into his marvelous life. And God is truly good, and brothers and sisters, and we have to, as Sister Tamika just read the promise, and to hold on to it and to share it and try to memorize it, have a book, you know, write these things down where we go somewhere. We might not have our book or our Bible or our phone at hand, but we can write it. We can write it on cards and give it to people and just talk of God's goodness and his promises to each and every one of us. So thank you again for coming on and sharing. Please press 1. Brothers and sisters, if you would like to share, I know the Lord has done something wonderful for you or in the life of your friends or brothers and sisters, or maybe you want a prayer request. There's things or that you want to lift up. There's decision to be made. There's things that's going on that you want for the brothers and sisters to intercede on your behalf. So please press 1 so that I can open your line. Again, thank you for joining us this evening. 857-505. Your line is now open.
Hello, beloved. Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He's truly worthy to be praised, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, I want to praise him because he's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He is a marvelous God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, I have a prayer request, my dear sister. Please lift up my mother in prayer. Lift up my mom in prayer. My mom needs a lot of prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, please lift up Sister Abby in prayer. Pray for Sister Abby. Her name is Abie. Lift up Sister Abby in prayer and pray for her brother. Her brother's name is Noka. Lift up Brother Noka in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, I know it's hard for you, but Sister Carla, his name is Noka. Sister Abby's brother's name is Noka. So lift up Brother Noka in prayer and pray for Sister Abby's family. Sister Abby is spelled in A-B-I-E. Lift up Sister Abby and her family. Don't forget to lift up Brother Shaquille. Lift up Brother Shaquille in prayer, Sister Carla. Pray for an individual. Lift up individual in the prayer line, and Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line, and may God bless you all on the prayer line. Amen and amen. God bless you all on the prayer line. Mm-hmm. Have faith in the Lord, brothers and sisters. Trust in the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Sister Carla, you have the name again. Sister Abby and her brother.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and giving us the name. Sister Abby, her brother Nokia, and also Brother Shaquille, and your mother, and all the other prayer requests that you have asked in the future. We always want to continue to pray or to thank God for answering those prayers of those individuals. So, again, thank you for joining us, Brother Eli. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else who would like to share a scripture, testimony, something from their devotion reading, or just a promise that they keep dear to their heart? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. And as I'm waiting, I'll share from
Sister Carla, I would like to share.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. I just want to share the praise of God. I'm praising the Lord for his goodness. And when we can call on one another, we have 3 that host the prayer line. And when we can call on one another to host the prayer line, sometimes there may be some busy schedule, but or some time, but Sister Carla taking out her time to pull on side the road or whatever she had to do, she's hosting the line for me. I'm giving God the praise for that, because at this time I had something to do, and God knows. And for her to do this, to take and get on side the road, or just to take her time to do this, don't you know God deserves all the praise because she loves him? So I want to thank the Lord for Sister Carla taking the prayer line, and now we are on here giving God thanks and able to do this. And only reason that we are doing it now, that she was able to take this for me, and I want to thank God for that. I praise him. I thank him. I love the Lord because you know what? He got people truly love him and that's willing and able to do his will. So that's what I wanted to do, praise God for his blessing. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for hosting this prayer line that our brothers and sisters can get on and share. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. All glory and honor goes to the Lord for his provision and his opening up the door and, you know, making a way for me to host and making a way for us to encourage each other and have a lifeline in the Lord. And you're welcome, Sister Leola. Again, I see someone has pressed 1. Again, thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Open the line for 518-744. Your line is now open. Happy first day of the week.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and I also would like to thank Sister Carla for hosting and being a faithful host on the Advent Light prayer line for so long, Sister. Now, it's only through your willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit that you would do this, and so I am grateful, and I know many, all of our listeners are grateful for you, that you have listened to the Holy Spirit to take on this task, and you know, it's just a wonderful testimony to what God can do for each one of us if we listen to him. He will give us the desire and also the opportunity, as Sister Carla mentioned. You know, she's usually working at this time, but she was able to host. So God is good, and he knows what's coming up. And if he needs a host, he can make a way that Sister Carla or somebody else could be free when they normally wouldn't be to host this program. So thank you very much, Sister. I just, listening to, you know, all the prayer requests, Sister Brenda, the reading and her requests and her thankfulness, and Sister Tomiko with her songs, a beautiful song. And just thank Sister Tomiko for that. And, you know, God has blessed her. People with different gifts, and I'm grateful that each person that comes on with gift, you know, has a gift from God, and that they're willing to use it, you know, for his glory, but also lift up the brothers and sisters. And I had a few verses here I wanted to read before I share my prayer request. And I got to go see my dad this weekend for Father's Day. I don't know how many more Father's Day I'll have with him. Maybe, you know, at the rate that things are going, I don't know if we'll get another one. But I was just grateful that I was able to go see him. And, you know, he's doing pretty well. But he's getting very forgetful, and my mom's worried about him. And but I was just reading in Galatians. My friend John that I've asked for prayer for came to me this Thursday night as we were getting all of our stuff together to leave, and he wanted to study the book of Galatians. So I told him that this Sabbath I would be able to get together with him and we can study the book of Galatians. And so I started reading it, and the first part of it just struck me, and just a few verses here. Sister Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he says he's not an apostle by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I was just really amazed at these verses, brothers and sisters. Jesus, who empowered Paul, gave him the apostleship, died for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world, from this present evil world. And as we, you know, as we look around us, we cannot argue the fact that this is a very evil world. Bad things are happening all around us. Just today, on my way home from visiting my dad, my grandson called me. He had a birthday on Friday. This is Ashley's son, Caleb, and his dad just had a operation, so he could not take him out to do anything for his birthday. So I promised him when we got back, you know, that we would try to get together with him and take him out to eat somewhere, that she wanted to go somewhere. And so he called, and so we went and picked him up, and his sister Olivia, who is Ashley's youngest daughter, Olivia's 10, Caleb just turned 14, and wow, I mean, I just was so grateful to see them, but to see them in the state that they are in, you know, their father is not a Christian. He is doing the best that he can, you know, with what he was taught when he was growing up, which did not have a father either. So a lot of the things that he allows the young people to do are not leading them in a path that will, you know, point them to Christ. They both have phones and they're on them all the time, and I finally had to tell them to put their phones away when, you know, we were together eating. We don't want to be just watching them play on their phones, and the things that they're watching on their phones are not acceptable to us either. So I just thankful that we were able to get together with them and see them, and hopefully we can have a positive influence on them at some point. It's hard when they're that age because they want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to listen to anybody else or anybody else's advice. But you know, God is good. So I'm just thankful that he is so good to me, because without him, I could be in that same situation. I could be straying away from him and not even knowing who he is, not even caring who he is. And so I'm just thankful, sister, for the prayer line, which keeps us focused. Also keeps us lifting each other up, keeps us strengthened. As Brother Eli is always asking for prayers for all of his mom and his friends, and we hear that all the time, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to lift up another in prayer. So please pray for Ashley. Pray for her children. She has three of them. Calista, her oldest daughter, who Calista is now, she will be 17 here very shortly. She lives with my oldest daughter, who is, you know, a very positive Christian role model in her life, and she has been blessed to live there. But the other two are still living with their father, and it's not a good situation. But he is doing the best he can, so I pray for him. So pray for Keith and for Ashley, for Caleb and Olivia, and all my family. My wife has been having some very serious heart issues, and the doctors keep wanting her to go on different medications and these things, and she's trying to find a way to treat her problem without all these medications. And we have come across a few ideas, but still praying to the Lord for more ideas, more wisdom in this matter. So please pray for my wife, Bonnie, that the Lord will give us wisdom and how to treat her her heart problems without endangering her. And I just thank you for the prayers. I will keep praying for each one of you and lift you up when I do pray in the morning. And I'm just grateful, sister, for the prayer line and for God's goodness to each one of us. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing what a beautiful family you have. And, yes, we will continue to keep your grandchildren in prayers, Ashley, children, Calista, Caleb, and all of
Olivia.
Olivia.
Yeah.
Okay, Olivia. Okay, and also the father, Keith, and your wife, Sister Bonnie. Amen, amen. Yeah. Thank you again for coming on and sharing. It's always good to hear you on the prayer line and each and every one on the prayer line. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1. And, yes, just keep my children in prayer. Also, Nicholas and Amanda, my grandmother, she'll be, I think it's this month, she's turning, I want to say 97 or 98. She's in her 90s, almost 100, and it's a blessing. She has some dementia, and, you know, she's still able to walk and stuff and move, and she remembers me when I call. She remembers my voice and remembers me and wants me to come visit. She's not strong on her leg. You know, as you get older, your leg is weak, so it's a blessing to know that she's still alive, and she's in the land of the living. My neighbor, Sandra, her mom is 101, and she's still alive, too, and Sandra is taking care of her, and it's just a blessing. It's mostly, I don't know, the woman, they're living longer than the male, I don't know, but we know that we serve a good God. We serve a Savior who loves each and every one of us, and to see these women still alive for a reason. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I just want to read something before we go into prayer. And also this song, this is a beautiful song, My Maker and My King. And we know that is our Lord. This is hymn number 15, and I will attempt to sing it. My Maker and my King, to thee my all I owe. Thy sovereign bounty is the spring whence all my blessings flow. Thy sovereign bounty is the spring whence all my blessings flow. The creatures of thine hand, on thee alone I live. My God, thy benefits be met, more praise than I can give. My God, thy benefits be met, more praise than I can give. Lord, what can I impart when all is thine before? Thy love demands a thankful heart, the gift at last how poor. Thy love demands a thankful heart, the gift at last how poor. Oh, let thy grace inspire my soul with strength divine. Let every word and each desire and all my days be done. Let every word and each desire and all my days be done. I thought that was a beautiful song, My Maker and My King. Amen. And I will read this from The Sanctified Life, chapter 10, Christian Character. It said, the character of the Christian is shown by his daily life, said Christ. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. Our Savior compared himself to a vine of which his followers are the branches. He plainly declared that all who would be his disciple must bring forth fruit, and then he shows how they may become fruitful branches. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is John chapter 15, verse 4. The Apostle Paul describes the fruit which the Christian is to bear. He says that it all goodness and righteousness and truth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask the question, are you bearing these fruits of the Spirit? Again, there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. These precious grace are but the principles of God's law carried out in the life. So these precious grace are the principles of God's life, of God's law, and it should be carried out in our life. People should be able to see these fruits, and if we're lacking, we have to ask precious fruit so others can know that we truly love God and we are his children. Another paragraph, it said, the law of God is the only true standard of moral perfection. The law was practically exemplified in the life of Christ. He says of himself, I have kept my Father's commandment. John chapter 15, verse 10. Nothing short of disobedience will meet the requirement of God's word. He that says he abided in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6. We cannot plead that we are unable to do this, for we have the assurance, my grace is sufficient for D. So God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. As we look into the divine mirror, the law of God, we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and our own lost condition as transgressor. But by repentance and faith, we are justified before God and through divine grace enabled to render obedient to his commandment and his law, his statutes, brothers and sisters. So let us be faithful. Let us be found faithful in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So again, if I want to ask Sister Tymeka if she can give us a word of prayer, but is there anyone who would like to share that have not shared? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. I am co-hosting with Sister Leola this evening, brothers and sisters. So I just want to thank you for joining us. Again, please press 1 so that I can open your line so that you can share, brothers and sisters. We still have some time. Brother Akeem will be on about 8:30, but we just want to give enough time for prayer if we might have 2 prayer. But Sister Tymeka will give us a word of prayer. But before that, I will go ahead and open this line. 518-951, your line is now open. Happy first day of the week.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Carla. Thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Powell from upstate New York. I know I'm a little late, but I was out. Yeah, I was out. So that's the reason why. God is so good. He's so great, my dear sister. He is worthy, worthy to be praised. I come with praise report this evening and my praise report that every one of us who I think on this line know around 2:19, I went to Jamaica to, you know, those precious little jewels out there. And by from 2:19, I think, you know, no one seen me there asking when and sister will be coming, when Sister Powell will be coming. But I just want to give God thanks, you know, that the timing, our timing is not the right time. God has his own timing. And I'm so thankful for his timing that he has, that as soon as we just be faithful to him, he's able to do all things. So, my dear beloved, I was able to send out the barrels them yesterday. And, you know, I just give God thanks and praise for what he has done. He has been working miracle. He has been providing and he has been making a way. And again, my dear, today, this morning, after we have devotion, I went outside there and I put out a table and I put out some stock, some stuff on the table. And believe you me, there was quite a number of pieces was taken, and I said, thank you, Lord. So I went and I clear up the table and pack up what I have left, and dear, I will be able to take it to Salvation Army because I'm trying to get the place clear. So God is so good and great. And another praise report, I think I had mentioned it on the line, this little 18-year-old in Jamaica named Alex, who is building a home for a family well in need, poor family. And this little young youth, you know, is 18 years old. He took up the responsibility and not only building the home for those individuals, helping the poor and needy in the community. And if you saw the love of that little boy, and I think it's on YouTube, Alex Nation, and I would like everyone, you know, just to look at it and to see the compassion, you know, as Sister Carla just read the fruit of the Spirit a while ago, that Jesus has. Those are his characteristics, and he wants us to have that same character. And that little boy showed love. And I said, looky, this little guy is not really a Christ-like person, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, you know. He just came out of school, right, as 18-year-old, and he took up that responsibility, whether he uses YouTube or his phone. You know, they may be doing other little things, but you know what? The responsibility that he took up is people, like people life. They buy groceries, took for the people. The person cannot walk. They bought gas and all these things for them to provide and, you know, show love and kindness. That was the Lord one. And my dear beloved brothers and sisters, this little boy, I get in contact with them. We have been supporting the project, and I get personal contact, you know, and talk to him, give him some good counseling about the Lord. Let him know in the morning, wake up, read your Psalms. I gave him the Psalm scripture to read before you go out. Ask the Lord for guidance because he's out there in the community, right? And that little boy, I pray with him. And, you know, I told him how you must be transparent. Whatsoever you do, you're doing it to bring honor and glory to God. And my dear beloved, you know, this little boy says, oh, yes, Grandma, same way. Just like that. All right, Grandma, thank you. You know, so far, you know, the house is going up, but because of the donation is not there. You know, he had just last week because all the material runs out and he depends upon like country donors. And my dear beloved brothers and sisters, after he came on the line and sharing, you know, and showing the people how far the house is. And in his remarks, after his closing remarks, he said, you know, if you don't have anything to sponsor, please to pray for this project and pray for me because we cannot do anything without the Lord. I said, amen, praise God, you know. I pray with him and I share, and that wasn't what how the project started, you know, but I pray with him and I counsel with that little man, not I, God, for this is not I, right, God, I'd counsel with his word, with that little youth, and he took it, and eventually he's asking, if no one can support him that way, he's asking for prayer. So I am asking for prayer for Alex and also the Williams Project so that God will pour out blessings upon that project, that it will be complete. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my life.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. That's what a wonderful testimony what that young man is doing there. And you know, there might be others like him, but praise the Lord that he took your counsel too and that he will go forward and eventually, you know, pray that he will repent and become, you know, into the faith of Jesus, you know, and lead others to Christ as he's doing this work and he's getting viewers and people are watching him. This is a great opportunity for him to draw close to Christ and for him to lead others to Christ through this ministry. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May you continue to encourage him since you've talked to him and, you know, you have a rapport with him, and may blessings come so that the Williams young man, Alex, and whoever else is helping and all the contribution that's coming in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's beautiful. We all have talents and gifts, and it's good to use them for the glory of God and to help others and to, you know, to provide for others. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters. It's better to give than receive, because when you give, you get so much back. And might not be material thing, but it's spiritual blessing. It's peace, it's happiness, it's joy, it's health, it's strength. And most of those things you can't buy. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So I see no one else has pressed 1. So I will ask Sister Tamika if she can give us a word of prayer. And we might have a second one. So I'll go ahead and open her line. Sister Tamika, your line is open.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Thank you so much for opening my line. Amen. Now, dear Lord, as we pray, take our hearts and our minds far away from the press of the world all around. to your throne where grace does abound. May our lives be transformed by your love. May our souls be refreshed from above. At this moment, let people everywhere join us now as we come to you in prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we thank you for this precious day of life. We thank you so much for helping us get through another week, Lord. We thank you so much, dear Lord, that you are always with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you love us all with an everlasting love. Father God, I lift up everyone on this prayer line this evening, the Adventist prayer line. All my precious beloved brothers and sisters, I lift them up on your precious throne of grace. We are lifting up Sister Carla, who is hosting tonight. Continue to bless Sister Carla, Lord, and bless her children, Nicholas and Amanda. Continue to cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Walk with them along life's narrow ways, dear Lord, and protect them always. And, dear Lord, we're also lifting up Brother Rick and his precious family, his daughter Ashley, and her children. Continue to bless, guide, and keep them, Father. We love them very much, dear Lord, and we pray that you continue to sustain them and be with them and strengthen them at all times. We are lifting up Sister Leola and her husband, Brother Ray. We lift up her precious Jules, Nicole, and Jarvis, and also their children. So continue to bless them all, Father God. We need you in these last days. And Father God, we are also lifting up Sister Powell. We're lifting up all of her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and her precious Jules in Jamaica. Please be with them, Father God. Cover them under your righteousness and cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father. May you bless them abundantly. We are also lifting up Sister Stephanie and her precious Jules, KJ and Kaja. Continue to bless God and keep them, Father God. And Father God, we lift up Brother Eli and his mom Rose and all of his precious friends, Brother Javel, Brother Jahari, Brother Isma, Brother Antonio. We lift up Sister Shamika, Sister Adelina, Sister Tatiana, Sister Ebony, and Sister Maria. So continue to bless all of his precious friends, dear Lord. We pray that one day they'll be able to come on the prayer line and give their praise and testimony and prayer requests. Father God, we also lift up Alex, and we're lifting up the Williams Project on YouTube. He is doing a mighty work, dear Lord, building homes for the homeless, dear Lord. We pray that everything goes well for him and that you will continue to be with him. Dear Lord, strengthen him. May you supply his every need according to your riches and your glory in Jesus Christ. So we thank you so much, Father God, that you are always with us. We thank you, dear Lord, for our precious brothers and sisters. Bless Sister Brenda and her husband, Brother Ray, and bless the beautiful grandchildren. Continue to be with them, Father God. You know everything about them. Bless them more abundantly, more than they can ever ask or dream, dear Lord. Bless this prayer line, dear Lord. More prayers, more power. We need you, dear Lord, as we can do nothing without you. You are the vine and we are the branches. You are King of King and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are our Majesty. You are the Prince of Peace. You are Emmanuel. God is with us. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for all that you do and say for us, even though we don't deserve it. You continue to take care of us. I lift up my family on this prayer line as well. Please continue to bless my children, Taiwan, Kiyosha, and Tony. Dear Lord, who's in prison, continue to bless them, dear Lord, and bless my grandchildren as well, dear Lord, Kalana and Kalana Mason. Continue to be with them, Father God. Cover them, dear Lord, in your righteousness. And, dear Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this prayer line, dear Lord, that everybody will be safe. And you will hold them all in the precious palm of your holy hands and keep them all close to your bosom, Lord. So we thank you, dear Lord. We lift up Brother Akeem, dear Lord, as he is about to bring the message to us. We thank you so much for him. Bless him and his family, dear Lord. May you keep him always safe and well. And we leave in your precious care and keeping, in the precious and mighty and matchless name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray with praise and thanksgiving on our lips. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tynika, for that wonderful prayer. And I will, Brother Akeem is not on yet, so I will say a second word of prayer. I was going to ask Sister Powell, but she didn't hear all the names, so I will say, I don't know if Sister Leola is in a position to, but I will go ahead and say a second word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, I second Sister Tamika's prayer. I thank you for her, for the blessing that you has blessed her with, oh Father, for just her, Lord, being a part of this prayer line, Lord. May she continue to be steadfast in the ministry that you have given her. May she continue to call upon you whatever she's in need of, oh Lord. She knows she has a mighty Savior, a Father, a King, our Creator, who loves us, Lord. I ask that you will forgive her of her sins as of her trespasses, oh Father. Whatever it is that she's not doing that's not according to your will, Lord, just talk to her as a daughter. Show her and teach her, Father. Please again be with her family, her husband, her son and her daughter and grandchildren, Lord. Please help them to be Christ-like. Help them to accept you as their personal Savior. Help them where they're struggling, where they're weak, so that they can be overcomer, Lord. Please touch Sister Bonnie in a special way, Lord. We ask that you will talk to the doctors to intervene on her behalf to see what can be done, oh Lord. We ask that your will be done in her life, oh Father. We want her to be saved. Each and every one of us wants to be saved, Lord. I pray that she will confess her sins to you and repent of her sins, oh Father, and seek you, oh Father, while you are still in the most holy place. Interceding on our behalf, oh Lord. Touch her in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. Have mercy on Sister Bonnie. Be with Keith, oh Lord, in a special way. Help him to give his life to you and to surrender all to you, his precious children. Oh Lord, have mercy upon them. Oliver, Olivia and Caleb, oh Father, please bless them. Please help them, oh Father, that he will steer them in the right direction. And as they go over their grandfather and grandmother house, that they will steer them in the right direction. And they will take heed as children, being obedient unto their parents, oh Father. Bless Calissa in a special way, Lord. May she be that big sister that they need, oh Father, to help them. And to help her aunt, oh Father, a great mother figure, Father, please be with Ashley, Lord. You know what she's in need of. Help her, Lord, that she will surrender all to you, that she will come down to her knees, oh Father, and surrender her life to you so that you can take control of her, because she's your daughter, Lord. You died for her, Lord. Please forgive Ashley, Lord. Be with Sister Leola in a special way, her family, Jarvis, oh Father. Another young man, oh Lord, that is your son. We ask that he will repent of his sin. We ask that he will come out that situation he's in, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, that life is still in him and he still have a chance to repent and be saved, oh Lord. He has to be convicted and broken, oh Father, so that he can know he has a father that loves him as a prodigal son, waiting for him to come back and come back into the fold. Continue to bless Sister Leola and her husband. Oh, Lord, be with them in a special way, her daughter and the grandchildren and her family as a whole. Lord, her sisters and brothers and the family, the community, Lord, help her to be that light in that community and in when she goes out to the stores and on the street to tell others of your soon coming. Be with Sister Brenda and Brother John and their children and grandchildren and the special job that you have given them, oh Lord. Keep them, oh Lord, as the apple of your eyes. May you continue to provide for them. Strengthen Sister Brenda and Brother John, Lord. Provide for them the things that is so needed and let them know that you love them, Lord. I thank you again for Sister Powell. I thank you for the the gift that you have given her, the talent, the love for the young people and for the people of Jamaica, oh Lord. You have truly blessed her, Father, to be in her 80s and still doing work for you, Lord. I thank you for her commitment. I thank you for her example and for her being in our life and being on this ministry. Lord, you could have had somewhere else, but she's a part of this ministry as she's a part of every other ministry that you have put her into, to be able to intercede and to talk to the people and to share the love of God. We're all disciples. We're all messengers. And we have to share the word and not be ashamed of the gospel. Bless her abundantly, her children, her grandchildren, her little ones in Jamaica, the project, oh Father, the adults and everyone in that nation, oh Lord, we claim them for your glory, for your kingdom in Belize and in all the different countries and even here in these United States, oh Father, and especially those in our family, we lift them up in a special way, Lord. We ask that you will be with Sister Katie and her family. As I spoke to her, Lord, as she loves her son and the children and the mother, Lord, but they need an intervention in that home, in that life, so that they can serve you, so that they can repent of their sins and seek you as for hidden treasure, Lord. Be with Dominique, Autumn, and the twins and her family, oh, Father. May they repent of their sins, oh, Father. Provide for Sister Katie, Lord, as she's in need of healing, of strength, of power from on high to be able to go forth, Lord, in the matchless love of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for the Calvier family, Mozart family, and each and every one that's missing on the prayer line, Brother Eli and his family, Abby, Nokia, Shaquille, and all the prayer requests that Sister Tamika, the names that Sister Tamika lift up for him, oh Lord. Please bless him. Please strengthen him. Help him never to give up. Maybe the youths are leaving, but keep him grounded, oh Father. Sometimes they leave the church, but not you, Lord. Help them to call upon you because you said you will in no wise cast them out if they call upon you and forsake their sin and turn from their wicked ways to serve you, Lord. We thank you, oh Father, for Brother Akeem. We thank you for his ministry. We thank you for him, a young man who comes on time after time, been on this prayer line for the longest, to minister to your people and to intercede and to share the love of God. Continue to bless him and give him the desire of his heart that's according to your will, Lord. Bless him and open up the doors for him, oh Father, so he can know that he is doing the work that you have called him to do, Lord. Bless Brother Akeem, Lord. Supply his need. Be with his mother, his father, the community, the church as a whole that he's co-pastoring or pastoring, oh Father. Be with his project. Be with the gift that you have given him to use for your glory, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We glorify, we magnify your name, Lord. Be with all the unspoken prayer requests, those who can join us, Lord. Be with them in a special way, Lord. We thank you ever so much. We praise you, O kind and loving Father. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. I ask that you will continue to bless me and supply my needs. Give me wisdom and understanding, O Father, to go forth. Be with Brother O'Neill, his project, his ministry, and those in New York that they're ministering to, Lord. May you supply their needs. May you give them health and strength to help the people, O Father, so that they can come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. We thank you, Lord, again. We praise you. And as the song says, what a friend we have in Jesus, Lord. And we thank you ever so much for being a Father, a King, our Creator, our Maker, our friend, our leader, our Lord of Lords, our beginning and our end, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. And I'll play a song as we're still waiting for Brother Akeem.
Oh,
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Can you believe he's bearing all the griefs and the sins of the world? But, you know, he died that second death for us, but we have to accept him as our Savior so that we won't have to die that second death, that we won't have to continue to go through the trials and the troubles, heartaches that many are going through needlessly. But Jesus, you know, he did it all for us, for you and for me, brothers and sisters. So I'll see you, Sister Powell, if she had anything else to share, if she has a song or if she has a prayer as we're waiting for Brother Akeem, if she has a prayer in her heart that she would like to share, I mean, you know, intercede on the behalf or just something to share. I will check, see if she would like to share. Brother Akeem should be coming on shortly, and I just want to thank my brothers and sisters. I pray that you have your notepad, your pen, and your Bible to take notes and to share, because when we hear, we listen to, and we study, it's for us to take these notes and to be able to share and to remember these things and to share it with others and to keep it and to remind us also, because we need to be reminded. We need to go back and read these scriptures and remember these Bible prophecy. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open Sister Powell's line again. Your line is not open, Sister Powell.
All right. Thank you, Sister Carl. I'm just going to for another word of prayer. If there is no other time, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we need prayer. We need strength. Is now, right? And we need to have the faith of Jesus Christ. Just as the Lord said in Revelation 14:12, here are the patient of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Have the faith of Jesus Christ. So we need Jesus Christ, brother. We may be saying that we are going to church all many years and doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. But you know what? Sometimes we are all locked. You know, it's just in our mind we think, because the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep his commandment. And to follow his commandment, we have to love Jesus. So let us go back into another word of prayer. Father, we come to you this night, this evening, to give you thanks and praise for the blessings. Lord, the blessings, so many blessings you have given unto your children so that we can count them one by one. And we want to come, as we join together this day at your welcome table, Lord. We want to let you know how much we appreciate your sacrifice that you have done for us, to let us know that, you know, because of your sacrifice, we have a chance to eternity. So we just want to thank you for that. Heavenly Father, this evening as we come before you, you have heard the request from your daughters, Lord. They have lifted up all these names, dear Father, to you. You are the one, dear Lord, who knows every name. You know the desire of every heart. You know what we are going through. And Heavenly Father, we ask you by faith, Lord Jesus, to let your will be done. Heavenly Father, as we go out in the wilderness, just as old John was out there in the wilderness presenting your word, repent and be baptized. Father, we have a message to go out. And this message, dear Lord, is the three angel message to go out to tell the fathers what is coming on this earth and what they are supposed to be doing, dear Father. And sometimes, Lord, we are not doing your will, but we are asking you to give us the strength that each one of us here who join will have that opportunity to go out in the village, Lord, and share your words to draw others to you. Now, dear Lord, we come, dear Father, pleading to you, Father, for these requests on behalf of our people. Lord, you said, Lord, as we focus upon you and the love that you has for us, is more than what our words can express. But we just come this evening, dear Father, because we know that you are in the most holy sanctuary. And we know the work that you have been doing there. And we are asking you, please, Lord, please, let her name be stayed, rooted and grounded, Lord, in that book of life. Bless each heart this evening as we come to get the little and that fresh bread from heaven, that we will not only enjoy it for ourselves, but we will able, Lord, to carry out your truth to those, Lord, for them to receive and to have joy within them so that they can also draw others to you. We just want to thank you for this sweet fellowship. Bless us and keep us, Lord. And if there is names that we did not present to you, I present Sister Stephanie and her children, Carter, Lord Jesus, who traveled to Jamaica, and her sister, we ask you to cover them under your blood, Lord, and allow them that they will represent you in everything they do. Continue to bless Sister Stephanie. Keep her, Lord, while she goes out and while she comes in, Lord. We ask you for your protection. And we also lift up to this day our youth, Lord, on this line and the youth in our churches and the youth all over the world, dear Lord. The question is asked, why the youth are leaving church, Lord, but the youth need to have a closer relationship with you. So help us, Lord, that we will continue to demonstrate your character to them, Lord, instead of beating them down. Help us that we will show them love and continue to lift them up to you, dear Lord. So we present them to you. We also present our ministers, Lord. Allow our ministers in our organization for this time. You have given us a message, Lord, to preach, especially the sanctuary message, the present truth for this time. And we know what the present truth entails, Lord. The sanctuary message, the state of the dead, Lord, the mark of the beast, Lord, and all these things. Help us, Lord Jesus, that you will help each and every one of us when we heard this study, that we will enjoy it, not enjoy it for ourselves alone again, but to share with others. Pour out your blessings upon each one of us today as we listen to our dear speaker tonight. We lift him up again, Lord, and we are asking you to fill him with your sweet Holy Spirit. Bless us and keep us, and thank you for hearing our request to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer, and Sister Tamika for the prayer. And now I believe Brother Akeem is on, so I will go ahead and open his line. Thank you, Brother, for being so faithful and for being a man after God's own heart. 301-640, your line is now open.
Okay.
Happy first day of the week. Amen.
Yes, happy first day of the week. Thank you so much, and praise the Lord. Thankful to be back on once again, and I pray that as we continue our study today, that our hearts and minds would be blessed, that we would be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. And so with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds, and I thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to speak concerning your word. Help me, O Lord, and speak through me. Use me as a conduit and forgive me of my shortcomings. I pray, O God, that as we go through your word, that we might have the understanding that you desire to give us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Some things that I was looking at before we move on to Acts chapter 8. Last time we studied the stoning of Stephen. And one of the things that I began to realize is, you know what, let me go back to the very chapter that covers this story in the writings of the Lord's prophet or the Lord's messenger to see what it states here. Because some of the things that stuck out to me as I read the chapter in Acts, in the book of Acts, is that Stephen, when he was stoned, at the close of the probationary period given to the Jewish nation, when he was stoned, it's very interesting to see how that was made possible. In other words, Stephen was stoned, yes, but it's something crucial for us to keep in mind in comparison to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You remember, when Jesus Christ was about to be crucified, you remember they could not necessarily, the Jewish leadership could not necessarily put him to death by themselves. As powerful as his influence was, as widely known as he was, friends, they knew that they could not in and of themselves put him to death. Why? And the reason is that the Jewish nation was still under Roman jurisdiction. The Jewish nation was still under Roman authority. As a result, the Jewish leaders and the nation itself could not execute capital punishment. They could not put someone to death. They could seek out Roman authority to do the work on their behalf, but they themselves could not execute capital punishment. This is why what happened, the church, that is the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, apostate leaders, united with the state, the Roman power, Pilate leading out in that jurisdiction, they united with him in order to destroy the Son of God, to kill him. Why? Because they could not execute capital punishment in and of themselves due to being under Roman power, under Roman authority. But it's very interesting to note that in the book of Acts chapter 7, what do we find happening to Stephen? They put him to death, here it is, without Roman authority. Or was it without Roman authority? That's the part that I began to ask myself. I kept asking myself that question for a long time until finally I heard someone say it, but they didn't give the exact place where it was stated. They showed why the Jewish leaders could put Stephen to death, to guide the people to put him to death. And when I heard that person say that, I said, I have to go back and research this. This may be the answer to a question that I had concerning why couldn't they destroy Jesus or kill Jesus without Roman power? Why did they need to go to Pilate to get him crucified? And on the other hand, they could put Stephen to death. How does that work? So I went back to the very place where I thought this answer would be. And this is something that I would recommend to each and every one of us, to understand how the spirit of prophecy, maybe apart from the testimonies, and the testimonies is not excluded, but you will see what I mean when I say what I say. That is, that when studying the spirit of prophecy, when studying the Bible, a book of the Bible, a portion of scripture, it is crucial for us to understand where we can find that story. The word is amplified in the spirit of prophecy. And what do I mean by that? I'll give you a few examples. If we're studying the life of Moses, all right? If we're studying the life of Moses, if we're studying the experience of Adam and Eve, if we're studying the stories of the book of Genesis, the place where we would go is what? The place where we would go in the spirit of prophecy is one. It would be patriarchs and prophets. Among many other places, for sure. We can be sure that there's parts of the testimonies where Ellen White speaks about Moses, about the experience of the Israelites.
but a place that you know that you can go in the Conflict of the Ages series that is very simple to remember, unless you know the specifics of other places where that story is covered, is the Conflict of the Ages series. So if you're studying the experience of Israel, or if you're studying the experience of God's people from Adam, from Genesis chapter 1, all the way to the time of Moses, and portions beyond the time of Moses, we know that the place where we can go, the book that covers those stories, can be found in Patriarchs and Prophets. If you're studying the life of David, all the way down throughout the history of God's people, up to the point of Jesus' first coming, we know that we can go to the book Prophets and Kings. It will touch on the stories that we find in David's life all the way to the time just before the birth of the Messiah. In the same way, if we're studying the Gospels, friends, the place that we would go then to understand, to get a deeper understanding of the Gospels will be what? It would be Desire of Ages. It covers the stories of the Gospel and amplifies it, giving us details that we never expected to find. If you are studying the book, if you're studying the book of Acts, or the majority of the writings of the apostles, such as Paul and Peter and John, the epistles of John, if you're studying the epistles of Peter, the books that Paul wrote, the book of Acts, friends, the place that we would go is where? The place that we would go is the book Acts of the Apostles. Friends, if we are studying end time events, if we're studying the book of Revelation, the history of the church from the time of the destruction of Jerusalem all the way to the end of the world, we know, yes, if we're studying the book of Revelation in that sense, we would go to the book Great Controversy, finding out the history of what happened at the destruction of Jerusalem all the way through the Reformation period, all the way to the end of the world. And so, friends, this is powerful. The books line up with Scripture. So if you're looking for the Red Sea, you guessed it, you would go to Patriarchs and Prophets. If you're looking at the story of Elijah, you guessed it, you would go to Prophets and Kings. If you're studying the story of Jesus healing that man at the pool of Bethesda, you would go to Desire of Ages. So think of the stories and then remember where those stories are located in the Conflict of the Ages series. And so, friends, this is powerful. As I began to realize this, I said, okay, that means if we're in Acts of the Apostles, then the book that I can go to find out more information about what happened to Stephen, and if what I was hearing from this certain person was correct, I said, then the place that I can go is Acts of the Apostles, because it covers stories from the book of Acts. And so, friends, I went there. And as I went there, I began to find my answer. And along with finding my answer, I began to find out powerful end-time applications. Just like we saw last week with the close of probation. But in the same way, just as the Jewish probation closed, so will there be a closing of probationary time at the end of the world for the whole world. And just as Jesus stood up, we see Stephen standing, seeing Jesus standing, in the same way Jesus will stand up when the close of probation comes at the end of the world. And so, friends, as we look at this, I want us to see some more parallels. So one of the major things that I was looking at, which I had a question about, was like, you know, I see Stephen being tried, and the Jews had the power to execute him without going to the law, to the Romans. Now, why was that? Friends, this is powerful. This is found in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, the first Christian martyr, speaking about Stephen. And this is what it says. Stephen, the foremost of the seven deacons, was a man of deep piety and broad faith. Though a Jew by birth, he spoke of the Greek language and was familiar with the customs and manners of the Greeks. He therefore found an opportunity to preach the gospel in the synagogues of the Greek Jews. He was very active in the cause of Christ and boldly proclaimed his faith. Learned rabbis and doctors of the law engaged in public discussion with him, confidently expecting an easy victory. But they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Not only did he speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it was plain that he was a student of the prophecies and learned in all matters of the law. He ably defended the truths that he advocated and utterly defeated his opponents. To him was the promise fulfilled. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to resist nor gainsay. As the priest and ruler saw the power that attended the preaching of Stephen, they were filled with bitter hatred. Instead of yielding to the evidence that he presented, they determined to silence his voice by putting him to death, right? Okay, so how would this happen? On several occasions, listen to this, friends. On several occasions, they, that's the Jewish leaders, had bribed the Roman authorities to pass over without comment instances where the Jews had taken the law into their own hands and had tried, that means brought them to trial, condemned, that means declared them guilty, but listen to this, and executed prisoners in accordance with their national custom. The enemies of Stephen did not doubt that they could again pursue such a course without danger to themselves. They determined to risk the consequences and therefore seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin Council for trial. Now, friends, it's powerful. The story tells us, as Stephen stood face to face with his judges to answer the charge of blasphemy, a false charge that was brought against him, by the way, a holy radiance shone upon his countenance. Now, we usually hear from Scripture for sure that a holy radiance, that his face looked like the face of an angel. And she quotes it here. It says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Now, listen to how much, how glorious his face actually shone like an angel. Are you ready for this, friends? This blew my mind. I just read this morning. It says, "His face shone so much like an angel that many who beheld this light from his face trembled and veiled their faces. But the stubborn unbelief and prejudice of the rulers did not waver." Friends, do you hear that? That's how powerful the display of the divine presence was upon him. His face was like the face of an angel, but God's glory was literally beaming off of this man's face, to the point that what was happening? Many who beheld this light trembled and veiled their faces. Picture somebody pulling the cloth over their mouth and over their nostrils and eyes to veil themselves from the glory that was shining from this man's face. That's intense. So this happened, right? Now, he goes through the sermon, as we saw last week. But as we keep reading, this is what is said. You remember, it came to a point where, as he was comparing Moses with the prophet that Moses said would rise after him, that the people were to give heed to. That was a prophecy Moses was giving concerning Jesus. Now, as he gave that prophecy concerning Jesus, the people in Moses' experience, as he was trying to lead them, many of them continued to resist him, to complain against him and against God appointing him. People became jealous of the position that God had placed him in at times. And so, friends, as this was happening, Stephen compares this to Christ, and he says, in the same way, you continually resist the prophets, but not just resist the prophets, you trained yourself now throughout the ages to finally resist Christ. It says, when Stephen reached this point, there was a tumult among the people. Then he connected Christ with the prophecies. When he connected Christ with the prophecies and spoke as he did of the temple, the priest pretending to be horror-stricken rent his robe. And by the way, according to Levitical law, the priest was forbidden from renting his robe. So this itself was a violation of the law. It's the same thing that happened at Jesus' trial. The high priest rent his robe, which was forbidden. It was blasphemous to do such a thing. But as he did this, it says the priest, pretending to be horror-stricken, rent his robe. And listen to this. To Stephen, this act, meaning the act of the priest renting his robe, was a signal that his voice would soon be silenced forever. He saw the resistance that met his words and knew that he was giving his last testimony. Wow. Although in the midst of his sermon, he abruptly concluded it. Suddenly, breaking away from the train of history that he was following and turning upon his infuriated judges, he cried, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Now, this is what happens now. The story goes, of course, they took him out and they stone him. And it states, as he described, as Stephen was now being taken out to be stoned, his vision apparently came away from earth to behold heaven. It says, as he described the glorious scene upon which his eyes were gazing, it was more than his persecutors could endure, stopping their ears that they might not hear his words, and uttering loud cries, they ran furiously upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, and lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, what did Stephen see? Spirit of prophecy tells us, to him the gates of heaven were ajar. And looking in, he saw the glory of the courts of God and Christ, as if just risen from his throne, Michael standing up, ready to sustain his servant. In words of triumph, Stephen exclaimed, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now, this is what she states after concerning the subject of how did Stephen get executed. It says, no legal sentence had been passed upon Stephen, but the Roman authorities were bribed by large sums of money to make no investigation into the case. So do you see why this happened now? This finally answered my question. I began to realize that there were people, Stephen himself being of Jewish origin, as we read in Acts of the Apostles, the first paragraph of chapter 10 tells us he was a Jew by birth, but he knew how to speak the language of the Greeks. Therefore, he could minister and try to reach out to the Greek Jews. And so, friends, this is powerful. The very people of his own nation and religion were the ones that ultimately came against him. Now, friends, this is the very thing that we are told will happen to us at the end of time. And you realize injustice had to take place in order for Stephen to be stoned. The Roman soldiers were bribed. And why did they have to be bribed? They were bribed because the Jewish people could not execute capital punishment. So what did they do? They said, no, we want to execute capital punishment. So what did they do many times? In order to execute someone and try to exercise things by their law, the leaders bribed the Roman leaders in order to allow them to actually do the terrible work that they wanted to do. Friends, this is solemn, because in the end of time, the same injustice will take place. We are actually told in the book, A Last Day Event, in the chapter, The Little Time of Trouble, chapter 10, once again, we are actually told this. All right? Actually, not chapter 10, but I'm going to read this to you from two chapters. So, actually, chapter 10 will be one chapter, and then I'll read it to you from another chapter in Last Day Events. So, this is found in Last Day Events, page 149, paragraph 5. The original quote is taken from third volume of Selected Messages, page 420. It states, "The best thing for us is to come into close connection with God, and if He would have us to be martyrs for the truth's sake, it may be the means of bringing many more into the truth. Many will be imprisoned. Many will flee for their lives from cities and towns. And many will be martyrs for Christ's sake. This is now concerning the little time of trouble, not when Jesus stands up." The moment Jesus stands up, friends, no more people among the saints will die. Every case would have been decided by that time. So God will preserve His people. But before that, during the little time of trouble, from the Sunday law to the close of probation, many will be imprisoned. Many will flee for their lives from cities and towns, and many will be martyrs. There is a prospect before us of a continued struggle, at the risk of imprisonment, loss of property, and even of life itself, to defend the law of God. All right? Now, I wonder, where will this come from? Where will this animosity come from? Friends, it comes from a specific place, all right? And I'll come back to something else next week. But I want to show you this. This is really deep, all right? This is found in chapter 11 of the book Last Day Events. It says, "We have far more to fear from within than from without. The hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. Unbelievers have a right to expect that those who profess to be keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus will do more than any other class to promote and honor by their consistent lives, by their godly example and their active influence, the cause which they represent. But how often have the professed advocates of the truth proved that the greatest obstacle to its advancement, the unbelief indulged, the doubts expressed, the darkness cherished, encourage the presence of evil angels, and open the way for the accomplishment of Satan's devices?" And why is this so intense? Because, friends, it's showing us that just as the greatest enemies of Stephen were among the very religious group that he was a part of, the Jews, in the same way, at the end of time, the greatest obstacle to the advancement of God's cause will be those who profess not just to be Christians, but they will profess to be Seventh-day Adventists. The very worst criticisms of God's people, of the Adventist movement, will come from within the Adventist church. And friends, I'm realizing it takes place on two accounts as we close. It takes place on one account that, yes, those who stand up for the three angels' messages will be attacked, because we are told that many among us, when the sifting time comes, when persecution breaks out, they will depart from our ranks or join the opposition and stand against us. False accusations will come against the people of God. But one of the things I want to mention is that that group that leaves the ranks of God's people and joins the opposition will be two groups, and I will bring some of these statements to you next week. It will be groups that, yes, they oppose the present truth, they oppose the three angels' messages. And so what they did was, because they weren't firmly established in the truth, whether it be intellectually and spiritually, they will leave our ranks and turn on us, for sure. And many look at those groups within the church and they're like, whoa, yeah, I could see that happening. This person is compromising here and there. this person is standing against God's truth here and there, these people are going to get shaken out. They're going to get sifted out, I should say, when the Sunday law comes. Right now, the shaking is happening. People are being shaken, and those who are being shaken are those who are not established upon the anchor, upon the foundations of the truths for this time. But friends, I've come to realize that there is another group. The other group is the group that feels that they have an understanding of present truth, but they ever live to criticize the church. They criticize its leaders. They continually make videos and pamphlets and booklets calling out the leaders of the church before the world, making YouTube videos bashing God's organized movement and giving the idea that God will have to let this church die and be purified in the sense that this movement and its organization will not continue to the very end. And friends, that group, because they were not established upon true principles, but rather their ministry was established upon criticism, friends, that group itself will be shaken out. Or let me not say shaken out. It will be sifted out when the Sunday law comes. And I will show you this next week. This is why it is not, we must examine ourselves, because there are ministries that many within present truth are looking at today that ministry is founded. Its foundation is not compromised, you know. And these ministries feel that they are standing upon the present truth. But friends, the foundation, while not compromised, is intense and insane criticism. Whether it be criticism founded upon truth or falsely accusing someone else. Friends, these two groups will fall out and they will stand just as the Jewish leaders stood against one of their own, bringing the truth to them, the present truth for that time, which was Jesus is the Messiah. In the same way, those who stand for the present truth at the end, there's going to be two groups, those who compromise the truth and those who criticize those who are trying to stand for it. Friends, we must be careful of those who are listening to, because there are ministries, as I mentioned, that are founded upon criticism. Every single video they bring out, it is to criticize the General Conference leadership. It's to criticize the General Conference president. It's to criticize the organization. It is to criticize every aspect that they think should be done that's not being done. And many times you find with these people, they are not examining their own lives. They're not praying for the leaders. Friends, may we be careful. Next week we'll see this group, because this group will be the end time. Just as the end time, just as the Jewish leaders persecuted Stephen, in the same way it will be the end time version. These Jewish leaders, their spirit will imbue the lives of these two groups, compromisers and criticizers. And they will play the part that the Jewish leaders played against Stephen, in the same way they will play the part against those that stand for the truth in the last days. I pray that this makes sense. We will see this in our next talk, next time I come on. But until then, friends, let's have a word of prayer. I've kept you guys long enough. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that these things made sense. Help us, O Lord, not to be sifted out when the mark of the beast issue comes upon us. Help us, Lord, to know where we must stand, and to not only stand, but stand correctly. To weep and sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land, but to be careful about how we stand against these abominations. To know that while we must proclaim the truth, it is not our work. It is not our work to do the work of inspiration. Our work is to proclaim the inspired truths. And Lord, allow you to do the exposing. Help us to be wise in this, O Lord. For you have called us at times to expose lies. but there is a wisdom that must be connected with that we may not fall. Guide us to this end, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Sister Carla, I can close, Sister Carla. I know you probably, you here. I just want to thank you, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Leola. We are closing, but we also want to thank Brother Akeem for this message, and brothers and sisters, this message that we have heard. And Brother Akeem will answer any questions that you may have. If you just take yourself off the host queue and press 1 again, and we can open your line. But if there's no one, I'm looking to see if there's anyone would like to press 1. You have to take yourself off and press 1 again. But if not, sisters and brothers, we will close out because the time is a little bit past. And we just want to thank you. If you don't have any questions, we want to thank those that are far and near, that we know that Sister Carla mentioned that it was Japan and North Korea. It's quite a few out of the country areas. So we just thank them for joining us on Advent Light Ministry. Also, we thank the brothers and sisters that you could have been anywhere, but you joined us tonight supporting the prayer line. And we thank our brothers and sisters for that. And may you join us. We also have ministry, health ministry on Thursday, and on Friday we have the Sabbath. So if you would like to join us in that time, you can tune in at the same time that you came in this evening. So we thank you once again, and may God bless you. And we're just going to play a song as we close. Thank you, brothers and sisters, once again. God bless you. Have a good night. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than any sin that this world affords today.